for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 10th Annual Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is Thursday morning, October the 27th, 2005. Norman Parrish is the speaker of this service.
Now we'll get into the Word. I've got to keep my eyes on that clock because it so happens to be that I'm a long-winded preacher. Now we're going to study qualifications for spiritual warfare. Do you want to become a deliverance, a healing minister? How many want to minister according to God wants minister today? Well, we're going to see a few qualifications, and I don't have an outline. I'm just going to speak from the heart. I'm searching for a word. I sometimes have to translate mentally from Spanish to English. Qualifications for spiritual warfare, for deliverance ministry. See, in 1963, the Lord revealed to me the gospel of the kingdom of God. You know, what is the gospel that has been preached for 100 years in America? What is it called? The gospel of grace, the gospel of love. Is that the true gospel? Come on now. The gospel that Jesus taught and commanded to be taught is the gospel of what? Of the kingdom. And how dare we preach any other gospel? Now, I'm not saying the gospel of grace, the gospel of love is wrong. But it is a diminished gospel. Why? Because it does not contain all the elements of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Many important elements are excluded. Now, how many of you women bake bread, cake? When you want to bake a cake, you lay out all the ingredients before you start. Amen? And check and recheck. Now, what do you need to bake a cake? Come on, ladies. Flour is the basic element. That's the grace of God. But you need sugar, baking powder, eggs, butter or oil, milk. You need coloring, you need flavoring. Well, you need 8-10 elements. If you leave one out, yucky. You're right. You might have to throw it to the dogs. And even they might turn their nose up on it. Now, the gospel of the kingdom has many elements. All the way from repentance, amen, obedience, righteousness or justice, the newborn experience, healing for body and soul, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the gifts, the ministries. But one very, very, very important element that cannot be left out without bringing down on yourself what Paul says in Galatians. If we preach any other gospel, we will become what? Anathema. Accursed. And what is the element we cannot leave out of the gospel? Hello? Deliverance. If anybody preaches a gospel but excludes deliverance, he is in danger of coming under a curse, he and his family, he and his congregation. I had a message I was going to preach in this conference. It says, it's in Jeremiah. Let's read of it. Let me see. Yes. Can you be patient with me this morning? How many have been blessed so far? Or disturbed or troubled? That's fine. I don't care. I'm not here to please you. I'm not going to tickle your fancy and pick your pocket at the same time. Amen? Are you still there? Well, you have to give me a minute to find this verse. Lord, help me. It just came through my mind, and I'm sorry that I don't have it right here on the tip of my tongue at this moment. But it says, deliver the oppressed from the hands of the oppressors. Can somebody find that verse? It's in Jeremiah, I know that. It's in the first few chapters. Deliver the oppressed from the hand of the oppressor. Can somebody that's got a Bible that's well marked maybe find it for me? I should have looked for it before. You know, deliverance is not suggested in this passage. Look for it, please. God's not suggesting. He's ordering. That message I had entitled, Deliverance, a Divine Demand. Deliverance, a divine what? Demand. Keep on looking, please. Now listen, brethren. Listen carefully while you're looking. There in that passage of Scripture, it says that if we heed those words, kings will come through the doors of this place. God's going to raise a kingly race. Raise a kingly race in our midst. God is going to raise kings with divine authority, with divine dominion. We'll come into the fullness of sonship. And we'll come into the fullness of servanthood. But it says, if we don't do what God has told us to do, a curse will come upon us. The place will be emptied out. You know why so many churches in America are down to nothing? Huh? I've been disturbed on this trip because a number of churches lately are down to, you know, yes? Why don't you read it? That's it. It says rescue, but in the old King James Version it says deliver the spoil out of the hand of the oppressor. Verse 4, for if you do this thing indeed, there enter in by the gates of this house kings. 22:3-4. Are you getting it? Tonight I'm going to preach on reigning in life. Reigning in life. Deliverance is indispensable for us to come into kingship. You hear me? Deliverance is indispensable to come into what? Doesn't this appeal to you? The Bible says we are kings. The Bible says we're a royal priesthood. But how many are living according to that? To that standard. It's because we're not into deliverance. We haven't been delivered. And we are not ministering deliverance. Now, listen to what it says in verse 5. But if you will not hear these words, I swear by myself, saith the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation. If we fail to deliver or rescue the spoil out of the hands of the oppressor, then this house will become a desolation. And churches after churches in America are closing their doors. Oh, you've got the mega churches. Thousands. But it's a religious show, brethren. Huh? People go in 1 hour, Sunday morning, get a little chit-chat, entertainment, Christian entertainment. They come up feeling good about themselves. Nope, they don't get disturbed. How many churches in America are ministering deliverance? Come on. How many? There's the curse. This house will become a desolation. How do you like that? Night before last, I said some of the old timers are gone. Derek Prince and Don Basham, Win Worley and Marcus Hager, Frank Hammond and Frank Marcello, Win Worley, on and on. And where are the replacements? Where are the men and women coming up the ranks to take their place? Nobody cares. Well, you're the cream of the crop. That's why you're here. Shame on you if you don't care. But most ministers in America don't care. Don't care. In fact, they don't want deliverance. It's too messy. Too much time. Too much effort. It doesn't add to their prestige. They're looked down as demon chasers. Demon conscious. Okay, brethren. We're going to study a few qualities you need in order to be effective in spiritual warfare or in deliverance. Okay? Now, if you want to know a deliverance ministry, how should it be and what should it do, you ought to study the life of whom? Jesus Christ. He is first and foremost, an example of deliverance ministry. Amen? Now, I'm not going to take all the time that is necessary to read certain passages of Scripture. But you remember when Jesus was baptized in the water and baptized in Spirit, He went back to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit, and He went directly to the synagogue, Capernaum, Nazareth, and He stood and He read, said, "The Spirit of the Lord is, for He has anointed me." What gospel? What gospel? "And He has sent me." To do what? Read that commission or that description of His ministry. It's taken out of Isaiah chapter 61. And what is the main emphasis of the whole verse? Supernatural healing and deliverance. If you read the verse carefully, and if you want to open there, it's in Luke 4 or in Isaiah 61, you'll find that it talks about proclaiming freedom to the captives and putting the captives free. There's a message and there's a ministry. The message prepares for the ministry. You have to teach deliverance to create faith so that people can come into deliverance. Amen? Jesus is the example. Now, I spent considerable time studying Christ's deliverance ministry. Do you know that's the main feature of entire ministry? Apart from His sacrificial death on Calvary, His crucifixion, resurrection, the most important feature of Christ's life and ministry was what? Come on now. Deliverance. Deliverance. Compassion for the sick and afflicted. Mercy. Pity. He was relentless. Tireless. Do you know that many times He didn't eat a bite? He went without eating? Went out without sleeping? Why? Because He had to minister to the multitudes. Study His public ministry to individuals and study His public ministry to multitudes. Have you studied in depth the deliverance cases that He handled? The lunatic boy? The Gadarean, the lady with the issue of blood, the lady with the spirit of infirmity. What about the deaf mute, the blind and the mute? Case after case after case. He's the lunatic child. I already mentioned him. Thank you. Brethren, if you're going to be in deliverance, you need to master those different verses and passages. And get to know Jesus as the deliverer. Amen? All the qualifications for effective deliverance ministry can be found in the life and public ministry of Jesus Christ. Okay? But He was Jesus, the divine Son, deity, in flesh. So let's skip. Let's go over and talk about the 12. Okay? Turn to Mark chapter 3. I wish my voice was in the best condition. But let's read Mark chapter 3, verse 13. And he goeth up into a mountain, and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal the sicknesses and to cast out devils. Now this is the call and commission of the first deliverance workers in the public ministry of Christ. I'm just going to ask a few questions. How many disciples did Jesus Christ have? How many disciples did Jesus Christ have? The standard answer is 12. Countless. Look for Luke 19, I think it's verse 37. Somebody read it, please. Now, stand and read. Nobody's going to listen to you. Stand and read so everybody can hear you. Thank you. The whole what? How many disciples did he have? Could have been 120, could have been 500. Remember, after his resurrection, he appeared to how many? 500 together. And the Bible, he had warned and said that after his resurrection, the world will see me no more. So those 500 were disciples. Now the Bible says here in Mark chapter 3 that on a certain night he went up to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night praying. He was seeking for illumination, guidance. And he came down off the mountain and he called all his disciples together. Isn't that what Mark 3 says? Come on, brethren, let's cheer up. Let's wake up. Okay? And what did he do? Out of the 200, 300, 400, 500 more, less, he chose 12. The word choose is in Luke, in the parallel passage. I think it's Luke chapter 6. Here in Mark 3, the word in verse 14 is ordained. But in Luke, I think it's the word choose. Yes. Luke 6:13. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named what? Apostles. The apostles were chosen and then ordained. For what type of ministry? For deliverance. Mark 3:23 says that they were chosen first to be with him. Did you hear me? Chosen to what? To develop a relationship with him. Chosen to spend considerable time with him in close fellowship. He was going to train them. He wasn't going to send them out novices as they were. He was going to dedicate weeks, months just to them, to those 12, to train them for deliverance ministry. In Mark 3, look at it again. It says he gave them power. That word is authority. To do two things. To heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. Okay? Now, in Matthew chapter 10, in the parallel passage, I like to have somebody at times beside me to read the scripture so we can won't waste so much time. But notice what it says here in Matthew 10:1. When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles were, etc., etc.
When he called them, they were just disciples. But when he ordained them, they became what?
Apostles.
This was a unique group. Many are called,
few are chosen. See, brethren, the body of Christ knows little or nothing about the elect company. How many of you studied in depth that subject?
It's one of the most important things that we for these end times. How dare we not study it?
God is restoring the ministries. And the Bible here talks about the chosen one. Chosen ones.
Open Acts chapter 1, verse 2.
I've got only 20 minutes left. 10:45. Oh, I'm going to kiss you after the meeting.
Now somebody else, stand and read Acts 1, 2. Quick.
Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles.
Now, keep on reading. Next verse, excuse me.
To whom also he shewed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God.
Oh, brethren, did you hear that? He arose from the dead, spent 40 days with whom? With the apostles. And what are they called here in these two verses? The chosen ones. The elect. Amen? Okay. He spent the entire 40 days exclusively with the apostles. And he spoke about one subject. Wouldn't that be boring? Some of you come here in 3 days, you get tired of the teaching. This was 40 full days concentrated. One subject, the kingdom. You know why? Because the apostles were going to become the administrators of the kingdom of God on earth in the first century. What were they going to become? The administrators of the kingdom of God on earth during the first century. Now the main feature of these men was going to be the supernatural. Full of the Spirit, they were going to go out and preach the gospel of the kingdom, which they did. Cast out devils, heal diseases. See, Jesus has said, the works that I do, ye shall do also. And greater. I'm still waiting for the greater. How many want to see and do the greater? Let's see. Did you see the divine order in John 14:12? They that believe in me, the works, you will never do the greater works until you do the same works. And which were the same works? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Deliverance. The supernatural. Some people sitting around waiting for the greater works. Poor, deluded souls. Somebody read Acts 1:1. Listen to this. The former treatise I wrote, Theophilus, Luke to Theophilus, of the things that Jesus what? Began. What does that mean? That was just started. He was going to continue doing the same things. Not through his physical body, but through his spiritual body or mystical body, which is the church. Listen, brethren, God never intended for the gospel of the kingdom to be suspended, set aside. by a bunch of religious crap. I'm talking from the heart, brother. After a third, fourth century of the church, no more deliverance. No more healing. Until just 40, 50 years ago. These are times of restoration. Let's go back to Mark 3. You'll see that I'm not following a neat, tight little order. The original passage, Mark 3, says that he came down off the mountain, called his disciples together, chose 12, ordained them to do what? First, to be with him. What is more important to God? Relationship or ministry? I'm going to ask it again. What is more important to God? Relationship or ministry? And we've turned things around. The private relationship supersedes the public ministry, biblically. But we think that ministry is more important than relationship. And we get so involved in ministry that we forget relationship. Now, why did Jesus choose these 12 out of 500, let's say, instead of choosing others? Even choose that scoundrel called Judas, called bullheaded Peter, called doubting Thomas. What did he see in this motley crew? Potential. What did he see?
Potential.
Let's go to Psalm chapter 101, verse 6. This was the base of the election. Why did Jesus choose these men above others? Psalm 101, 6. Somebody read, please. Again. Stop. Thanks. Why did Jesus choose these 12? Faithfulness. See, he chose them to be with him. And 101:6 says he chooses the faithful to be with him. Who? I don't know. I'm not going to start into eschatology. How many? Well, believe in the rapture somewhere or another. Yeah. Somewhere or another. Whatever. Pre, mid, post, whatever. 1 Thessalonians 4, which is the only chapter on the rapture in the Bible, says that Christ is going to come for a determined group of people, the church or part of it, so that they might be what? With him. With him. Who are the people that are going to take part in the rapture whenever it happens? The faithful. Judge yourself. Examine yourself. Are you faithful? Again, are you faithful? I wouldn't hastily say amen. Have you been faithful with your time? Investing your time, your money, your energy, your knowledge, your giftings and talents? Faithful, 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 faithful. That's the basis. The elect have to prove that they are faithful. The difference between the called and the chosen is what? Faithfulness. You want to be effective in deliverance ministry? In spiritual warfare, you better be faithful. No substitutes. So Jesus chose the 12 and dedicated weeks, months to them. Taught them everything, not everything. But he taught them a lot about the kingdom and then sent them out, two by two. Chapter 6 of Mark. How many are learning something this morning? Well, I'm learning also. Holy Spirit teaches me as I teach others. Why don't we read chapter 6 of Mark, verse 7. Somebody read. Stand and shout. Read out loud. After months, he decided to divide the group of 12 into six pairs. Amen? And he sent them out two by two. And what does the verse 7 say that he did?
Power over
Again!
He
already had given them power according to chapter 3. See, this power doesn't come to you once for life. Did you hear me? You need to be renewed, restored. You need another dose of divine power from time to time. Amen? But you see, do you see the emphasis on deliverance in this whole scenario? The chosen ones had a deliverance ministry. They were called apostles. They received power to cast out devils and heal diseases. And were they, let me ask you something, were they effective in deliverance ministry? Somebody read verse 12 and 13. Same chapter. Mark 6, 12 and 13. Somebody with a loud voice. And scream like you scream at your wife.
They went out and preached.
Amen. Did you notice the word repentance? Is that an ingredient of the kingdom of God?
Yes.
Repent, for the kingdom of God is
at hand.
How many churches are preaching repentance today? We substituted repentance for prosperity. Listen, brethren, I'm going to say something. Take it with a grain of salt. The church in America is backslidden. I'm talking in general. The major denominations in America are backslidden. A lot of people are going to hate this when they hear it. Well, backsliding leads to apostasy. Now, these men went out everywhere preaching the gospel of the kingdom. They preached repentance. And then what did they do? Read the verse again. See, we have to analyze these verses. Come on, brother, read it again. Read the verse before. You skipped two verses. 12 and 13, I think it is. Stop a minute. What is the prerequisite for healing and for deliverance? Why do most people don't ever come into healing or deliverance? They hold on to their sins for dear life. They don't want to expose them. They don't want to renounce them. Read it again. Okay. But then in chapter 9, sit down, brother, they came across a case they could not handle. Remember the lunatic child? Jesus was up in the mountain, transfiguration, and this man appeared with his child. Well, he was probably an adolescent or a teenager because Jesus asked the father, how long has this boy been in this condition? He said, since he was a child, who is no longer a child. He was in the puberty. And since Jesus wasn't there, the father impatiently asked the disciples to minister deliverance to the boy. And what did they do? Tried and failed. Why? They should have been up in the Mount Transfiguration with Jesus. But they stayed at the base of the mountain. And what did they do the 2-3 days that Jesus was away? They fasted? They prayed? No, because later on Jesus said, this type cometh out not by prayer and fasting. What did they do? They rested. They played. They went swimming. They played with made a baseball game with a stick and a rag ball, jokes, had a bonfire, mushrooms, hot dogs. They had a party. They had a ball. An emergency arose. Here comes this man with this dying kid. Were they ready? That's the condition of Church of Jesus Christ today. Isn't that sad? Let me ask you, brethren, how many believe I'm exaggerating? Speaking the truth in love should shake us up. I include myself. Don't look at me as a super saint because I'm not. I'm just one of you and you are one of me. We're identified. We're together in this business. This kingdom business. Amen? Okay. Now we've studied a little bit about the 12. Now let's talk about the 70. That's Luke chapter 10. Qualifications of a deliverance worker. Now who were the 70? Do we have the name of the 70? So they were unknown nobodies. Incognito. Or, amen? Unknown entities. Jesus called. Now somebody read verse 1. 10, 1. Please, 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 please. Jesus appointed, Jesus ordained 70. But what does it say about these 70? Just read it again, brother. Other, another group, other 70. Now, what had he appointed? Thank you, brother. In the previous chapter, 12 disciples that became apostles. And now he appoints other 70. These other were what? Just disciples. More of the same. More of the same. Sure, they were just plain apostles and plain disciples when they were called, but once they were appointed, once they were ordained, they became what? Apostles. Just compare their calling with the calling of the 12. The conditions are exactly the same. If you're asked how many apostles were there in the early, during the public ministry of Jesus Christ, don't say 12. 12 plus 70. Yes. Now Jesus gave them the same power to perform the same ministry. Look for the verse that says that he sent them out and he said, into whatsoever city ye enter. Did you see that? What were they supposed to do? Heal the sick that are therein and say unto them what? Again the kingdom. The 12 preach the kingdom. The 70 preach the kingdom. And why are you preaching something else? How dare you preach something else? We must specialize on the kingdom. You need a doctorate? Yes, on kingship. On kingdom domain. That should be our specialty. Doctor in Bible knowledge in reference to the kingdom of God. Okay? So these men went out and were effective. They had a great ministry. In verse 17 through 19, somebody else read, please. We don't want this man to monopolize the time. Quickly, we got 10 minutes. Thank you. They were taken by surprise because all they had, Jesus had given them power. They didn't understand the implications. And they were just healing, went out and thought they were supposed to minister healing. But lo and behold, what happened? They began to minister healing and demons manifested. How many know that great number of diseases today are demonic in nature? And I respect medical science. But listen to this, brethren, and I'm not lying, exaggerating to impress anybody. 70% or more of today's diseases are incurable by medical standard. True? False. According to medical literature, emotional disturbances, but according to scripture, demons. Spirits of infirmity. Spirits of witchcraft. Yes, sir? In medical science, as much as we respect it, is impotent. And most of the substances they give to alleviate. Yeah. But we must accept there are some natural diseases caused by microbes, bacteria, viruses, etc., etc. That might be, some of them might be demons, or they might be... That's it. Thank you, doctor. That confirms everything I believe. Okay? So they went out and ministered healing. Lo and behold, they had demonic manifestations. And they had to handle them. They had to confront them. And when they came back, it says they came back with a... They came back embarrassed. They came back with joy. Let me tell you something, brethren. If you're in deliverance, you ought to have what?
Joy.
When you experience deliverance, joy. When you preach deliverance, joy. You remember when Philip went down to Samaria and preached deliverance? There was great joy. Great joy. What does deliverance bring?
Joy.
Great joy. All the oppression and depression and all that junk ought to go out the window. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. They were joy, that joy, because the demons were subject to them. Subject to them. They had authority. They had been given a dose of authority. And they used it unwittingly. They didn't know what they were doing, but they did it and it was effective. So what happened? Jesus said, I beheld Satan. You know, about four, five years ago, there was a tremendous emphasis on spiritual warfare in the heavenlies. Strategic spiritual warfare. Huh? Prayer marches. Spiritual mapping. Are they doing it today? Come on now. Very little. It was a fad. And let me tell you something. Many times it didn't work. They didn't see the results immediately. Because most people, they don't want to mess around with demons. They want to shoot demons from a distance. Huh? Yeah. They want to be the Pentagon, sit around a round table and talk about spiritual warfare, and then send it fly off a few what? Satellites or whatever, or what do you call those? No, the ones they shoot out.
Missiles.
Missiles. Was Jesus referring to Satan's original fall? Behold, I beheld Satan fall from heaven. Was it past? Was it future? He saw that happen while the men were out there casting out devils. What does deliverance do? Pulls down the territorial spirits. Without deliverance, they'll never be torn down. You know, Guatemala is the most evangelized country in Latin America. Maybe in the world. When I went there, my family, 3% were born again Christians. When the Spirit of God was poured out in 1963 upon our church, and we got into deliverance, and it grew and spread throughout the country, across the borders, the church began to grow. Why do you think I'm honored in that country? Huh? I'm not a great personality, but I'm the daddy of spiritual warfare in Guatemala. You know what percentage Christians in Guatemala today? Average, 38, 40, 42% Guatemalans are Christians today. No country like it. Guatemala City, at least 10 Christian stations, radio stations, AM, FM, broadcasting Christian music and message 24 hours of the day. 2 Christian television stations. We've got Christian universities, Christian colleges, Christian schools by the hundreds, Christians throughout government, in education, Christians in high places. And what can you attribute that to? Deliverance. Deliverance. Brethren, there's not an iota of lying or exaggeration in what I'm saying. Believe me. Believe me. The truth. We have torn down the territorial spirit. You want to know something? I've faced the henchmen of Guatemala body to body. And I mean body to body. Spirit to spirit. Body to body, because I faced the great territorial spirit of Guatemala in the body of a boy 15:16, and he's an apostle in Dallas, Texas tonight. He has a network of churches in America, in Spain, and in some Latin American countries. When he brought to me, he was crazy, violent. And I had physical battles with him, not only spiritual battles. But we whipped him. Amen? I'm not talking about the boy. He's a 50-year-old man now. Now let's finish with verse 19. It's time. Behold, I give you power. That was the prize. That was the reward. Behold, I give you power to what? Tread on serpents, on scorpions, types of demons, and over all the power of the enemy. That's what the church should have. Over all the power of the enemy. And listen to this. Nothing by any means should. I've been in spiritual war for 40 years, 41 years, 42 years. And the demons have used everything in their stockhouse to hurt me, kill me. But where am I? I'm here. And I'm alive. It's been a hard year. I don't deny it. I'm not covering up. But I'm here. Fit. Able. I'm ministering. Tomorrow I go to McAllen, Texas. Tuesday to Toronto, Canada. Back to Guatemala. Sunday, November 6th, a week from this Sunday, I'll be in Almolonga. How many have heard about Almolonga? There was a video called Transformations. Almolonga. I'm going to the 30th anniversary of a church I founded in Almolonga. I founded two churches in Almolonga. How many have heard about Almolonga? When did it start? How did it start? Deliverance. And I'm responsible for what happened. But see, I've always worked behind the scenes, brother. I don't seek for credit. But I'll be there a week from Sunday, 30th anniversary of a large church. They want me there. Why? They want to honor me. I'm the daddy of that church. Last 2-3 years ago, no, it was for the 25th anniversary, they had a celebration, big parade through town with bands, with flags. Where do you think they put Norman? At the tail end? Right in the front between the Christian flag and the Guatemalan flag. Brethren, you don't know what you have in your hands. A pearl of great price. A pearl of great price. What are you going to do with it? Close your eyes. Bow your head. Let's repent for not really valuing what God has given us. Father, forgive us. We've been careless. We've been reckless. We have never valued what you have given us. This ministry. All ministry. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the authority of the Most High. Thank you for your word, what it means, what it does. We're a privileged people. Help us to fulfill your cause in the world today. Wake us up. Shake us up. Give us the qualities we need to be great warriors, that we might serve you, that we might honor you, that we might exalt you, that through our life and testimony, many, many, many will be saved, will be healed, will be delivered, will be swept into the kingdom of God here around the world. Bless us, keep us, guide us. Do a profound work in our life this day that will leave this camp in a different spiritual and moral condition than we first came. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. www.bibleschoolatbible.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.